But Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14 through 16, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about grace for every need. And then I'm going to get back on this experience in just a moment. So here we have Hebrews 4, that says 1 through 16, but we're looking at 4 through 16. And this is why we have no screen, but Jimbo was kind enough to put the verses on there, okay? Seeing then we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's such an interesting phrase, in time of need. It actually means seasonable time. You know, we need grace for every day, every hour, every minute, and all this. But there are those moments when you are find yourself in a season that is very different from what you're accustomed to. It's one of those life-challenging moments. It's bigger than you are, and it's past your understanding. You need a refuge. You need an anchor. You need something to look to that is bigger than yourself, stronger than you are. Seasonable help. God gives grace in those seasons. Now, the Christian life is like a season. We have winter and summer and spring, fall. It's not always fruit and harvest time, rejoicing. Sometimes it feels like the death of winter. But there's grace for all the seasons of life. Would you bow with me as we ask the Lord to help us? And I'll share a few thoughts with you this morning that I do hope, for God's glory and for the benefit of you, dear people, will be helpful. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. And Lord, I humbly admit before you and all these here that I need that seasonable help. And Lord, I have no doubt that you will be faithful. You will sustain and you will help and you will strengthen, and I'm grateful. But there are others here today, Lord, whose problems are more private than I have talked about my own. They're hurting, don't know where to turn. Could it be, Lord, that you have rearranged the entire moment for such a time as this to speak to somebody's heart and say, hey, there's grace for seasons like this too. Lord, I pray you be glorified in what is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. In my thinking, there is no more beautiful word in all of the Bible than the word grace because of what it means. But all the years that I've been trying to preach the word, I have never been satisfied with any effort that I've ever made to try to explain to you what grace is. I just can't do it. When I try to do it, I feel almost silly trying to explain what grace is. I mean, it's like, it'd be like going on vacation and taking buckets of water from your hotel room and dumping them in the ocean, running back and getting another bucket and dumping it. Somebody says, what are you doing? I'm just trying to wet the ocean. I mean, you can't do it. You can't. It is outrageous. It's even scandalous when you think about what grace is. That God would send his Son into the world to die for the very people whose sins put him on the cross. It's scandalous. It's outrageous. In any court of law, it wouldn't stand. You told a judge that the reason you did this was for reasons like that. Grace is something I can't explain. But when you feel those moments where God gives that grace, or he provides that help, that blessing, that strength, that hope, that faith, that direction, that wisdom, that understanding, all of those things that we need for daily living, especially in seasonable times of our life, that comes to us by grace. What a blessing it is. Now, to appreciate what he's saying, I need to work a little bit toward the text in verse 16. And if you have your Bibles, then look there in verse 14. He says, first thing he wants these Hebrews to know, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, but obviously the book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. Some of them had been converted, others had not, and so the hope was to win the lost and strengthen the people of God. And so in verse 14, he says to them, we have a great high priest. Now, this is not a term that's found in the Old Testament. The Old Testament talked about a high priest, but not a great high priest. And if you know about the book of Hebrews, he's constantly trying to magnify the superiority of Jesus Christ over any and all things, past, present, or future. And so he's identified as a great high priest. Now, to be a high priest, there were numerous restrictions that were imposed on the high priest. And he had to be a person without any physical blemishes. He couldn't be handicapped in any way. That's not to disrespect those who are handicapped. It's just that this person would represent one day the high priest, which is God, Jesus Christ, who was without blemish. And so several restrictions were imposed. No markings in his bodies, we'd say tattoos or whatever. He couldn't shave. He wasn't allowed to shave his head or trim the edges of his beard. You remember Aaron's, when he was anointed, it runs down to his beard and on his garments and on the floor. Only allowed to marry virgins, couldn't marry a divorced woman. His daughter, if the family of the high priest became immoral in any way at all, she would be burned to death, executed. No physical defects. Like I said, all these restrictions were imposed on this person that would be a high priest. Jesus is a great high priest. Now, the high priest was able to go into the holiest of holies and represent Israel, or all the people, that all God's people. He could represent those people to God. He walked through the outer court and the holy place, and then he went behind the final veil into the holiest of holies. He had a breastplate, and on his breastplate, he had six stones here, six stones there, and each of those stones making up 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel. On one shoulder pad, he had one single stone, and the other, he had another stone, and on the shoulders, the six tribes here, six tribes there. So the God's people are being represented in the holiest of holies. And so on the Day of Atonement, he would take the sacrifice and he would go into the holiest of holies and represent the people of God and put a sacrifice out that would satisfy God, at least for a time, so that the people could be forgiven for the sins that they had committed. But when the high priest stood there in the holiest of holies, he stood there with a kind of solidarity. All of Israel stood there with him. It was as if each one of them was there before God in this holiest of holy places. And so this was very important, and the Jews understood this, and they appreciated that, because that's where forgiveness would lie, between the mediator between God and man, the high priest. But now the writer of Hebrews is telling people, look, there is someone that is greater than greater than Aaron, greater than Melchizedek, greater than all of the high priests that have ever served or ministered in the holiest of holies. And his name is Jesus. And he has gone not into these tabernacles made with man, but he's gone past the atmospheric heaven. He's gone into the outer space, and he has gone behind the veil that is so far away that probably not even known to man. And he's in the very presence of God, standing there representing you and ready to mediate to the Father all things you need in your seasons when you need them. This is better than Aaron. This is better than Melchizedek. This is outrageous. This is scandalous that God could come in human form, bear our sins on the cross with a kind of solidarity. On all of our sins were laid on him. He's punished. He's buried. Now he passes through the third heaven into the abode of God and stands there representing you and representing me and all those who believe. That's what we have. He's trying to say, you people that need help in your seasons of need, you've got help. He's passed into the heavens and he is there waiting for you. Now, notice the phrase, let us hold fast our profession. You can understand why he says that. There was a lot of seduction, and I'm talking about theological, I guess you would say, seduction from the Judaizers that were trying to get the people that had not yet believed. They were coming close to understanding, and they were trying to pull them away from the knowledge of the truth. And then there were believers who were young believers, and there's all this dissension, but the Judaizers, of course, didn't accept the message of Christ, the claims of Christianity. And so the whole idea is to encourage them, you hold on to that profession because that is truth. Jesus is passed into the heavens, and so don't be weary. Now he adds this in verse 15. This same Jesus, this high priest, he has feelings for you. He has personal feelings for you. Now, in Bible days, many of the people did not believe that God could be a God that he was pretty much detached in terms of feelings. They considered feelings a sign of weakness. You know, to feel or to cry or to be emotional and things of that nature, it projected weakness. So the God that created heaven and earth, he can't have feelings because that's weakness. Can't be moved by emotion. He's moved by strength and power. And he says this about our great high priest. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can be moved and is moved by the things that hurt us or scare us or tempt us. This is a different kind of high priest. He's passed into the heavens. He's representing you before the Father. He is your mediator. And he feels what you feel. He was in all points tempted like as we are. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all of those things were things that were put in the pathway of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And I'm certain other times that are not recorded. You said, but Jesus never sinned, so he can't understand it. I believe people that resist temptation understand the strength of the impulse better than those who give in. For example, you give in to a temptation, and because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the Bible says the hearts of the sons of men are just, they're just decided they're just going to keep on doing evil. There's no real, it doesn't, there's this period of time where they just kind of just enjoy it. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But that person that's battling and resisting temptation, they feel the strong pull of that evil impulse And so think about Christ. He understands the power of temptation. But thank God he is without sin. We can't say that about ourselves, but certainly it's said of Jesus Christ. And so here is Christ in his humanity. He has come to the earth. He has become our high priest, great high priest. Now he's passed into the heavens, but he's not now detached from us. He's feeling our infirmities and understanding our pain, our trials, and our temptations. And because he is without sin, he is able to share his strength with us. And so, all points tempted, yet without sin. Now, how can we find grace in time of need? So, where do we get this? Well, it's there. I'm trying to emphasize that that grace, that strength, that help is available. It's undeniably available. If you believe that Jesus has been here and died on the cross and rose from the grave and passed into the heavens, and you believe the Bible, then help in your time of need should never be questioned. You say, but I don't really feel worthy of his help. That's a great thing. He gives that help in times of need by grace. That's the beauty of it all. It isn't say, if you read your Bible every day this week, I'll give you some help. It didn't say, if you've shared Christ or witnessed or you've been in church on a regular basis and you need some help, I'll give you some help. There will be grace. My help will be given to you like I give all things to you by grace. That's how outrageous and how scandalous it is that God could continue to bless us even when we certainly don't feel blessable. How do you get it? Well, the first thing you have to do is behold your priest. He says, seeing, verse 14, seeing that we have a high priest. When you're in that time of need, you need to look in the right place. Jesus. And that's hard to do. This week, I remember after talking to the doctor, I'm sure I said Jesus and help and all that. I'm sure I did. But I was distracted by several things that I'm not going to try to act like I just looked there immediately. Trying to process what he said to me, I couldn't understand it. And then this whole thing about the staff and all this kind of stuff, and I'm thinking, we're supposed to be at one of the most renowned hospitals in the country and in some terms the world, I suppose. And you don't have anybody that can do the anesthesia? I didn't say that. I'm thinking that. I didn't say, doctor, that'll be just fine. I'll talk to the Lord about that. I didn't say that. I thought, what is going on here? Okay. And then as fate would have it, and this is just my life, there was a gentleman in the waiting room, and you know, we're all supposed to be social distancing and everything. It was like going through, honest to God, it was trying to get in the White House to even get inside the place with the mask and the vaccines and all that. But there's a guy in the waiting room that looked to me, and I've never seen the show Duck Dynasty, but I've seen the characters that play pictures and stuff. He looked like he just walked right off the set. And he came over and sat down by me. And, of course, he overheard what the doctor say in our communication. But it's going to be all right. And if you know me well, in these moments, I want to be to myself. I don't want to talk. I just want to try to find out. It's going to be all right. Boy, get your head up. I needed grace. I said, yeah. He says, sat there, man. I said, yeah, you're right. I understand. And I'm keeping my head down. I refused to get it up because he told me to get it up. I'm not doing it. A few minutes later, he said, you and your wife fuss much. And I mean, I'm just dead-eyed serious looking at him. I look at him, I was like, where? You know, No, I don't guess. Boy, me and my wife, we fuss all the time. People wouldn't think we'd make it, but, you know, we fuss and everything. But that's just the way we do things. And I want to say, I don't really give a rip how you do things. Please just be quiet. It doesn't mean anything to me, mister. I mean, I don't know who you are. And, you know, you can't, of course, chew in there, but it was obvious he had done a lot of chewing because it was on the beards. He was real balanced about it. He had stains on his beard coming on both sides. And he's right past the social distancing, you know, in that personal space. And I just want to scream at this point. So it dawned on me what I could do is just act like I got a phone call or got to make a phone call and go out because there's people waiting to sit in these chairs because they don't have enough chairs. I'll go out, come in, somebody, I'll get my seat, and then I'll wait for another one to be on the side of the room. That worked. I went out, went down the hall, came back. Somebody had that seat by my Duck Dynasty friend. Found another one in a corner over there and went and sat over there. And as God is my witness, the person that was sitting there close to where I was now gets up, and here he comes again. Sits down. Did you hear anything? And this just went on, and my nerves were shot. And I wasn't looking. I wasn't seeing the high priest in all of this. I wasn't. I was frustrated. I didn't understand why this was happening, and I was getting extremely annoyed. I think to get that grace that we need in the time of need, we need to make sure we see the high priest in all of it. He's passed into the heavens. He feels the pain. His eyes on the sparrow. So you know he's watching all of this. But I'm responsible to see the high priest. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So first thing, I think we have to behold him. Then when we do behold him, here's something that happens to us. It's interesting. In verse 16, we have a boldness to come to the throne of grace. We know that we're not worthy. We could list 100 reasons why bad things are happening. But the throne of grace is a place to obtain mercy. And that's what we need. So many people refuse to pray because they say, well, I can't pray. I don't feel worthy. I hadn't prayed in a while or hadn't done this. When you understand that seeing that we have a high priest and you understand, you believe by faith that he's there and he's watching you, whether you're always watching him or not, when you get a hold of that truth, you can appreciate this invitation. Come on in here. You don't have to be sheepish. You don't have to be afraid. This is a throne of grace. This is an outrageous place. This is scandalous almost. I'm inviting you here, and you can obtain mercy. And I know this is a bad season for you. And I'm going to give you the strength you need by my grace, not your merit. So behold your priest, and then go to your priest. Be bold doing it. And the final thing, believe his promise. You'll find grace to help in time of need. Now, I want to close with this thought. And you've heard me say this before, but if you can endure it one more time. Because this has happened to me a number of times in my life. When I was a teenager, I was in church, and I've told you about this couple that would, from time to time, they would sing. And they were older couple, I mean, way up in years, and honestly, it was hard for me as a 15, 16-year-old not to laugh while they were singing because it was so horrible. I mean, it was terrible. His wife would stand up here, and his wife had no personality at all, you know, or none that I could detect, I should say. We all have a personality, but I couldn't detect hers. It was like she had some kind of a bypass. I mean, you know, just no expression. And I believe she could slap her in the face, and I don't believe she'd have an expression. And so she's real tall and kind of awkward and lanky, and she's playing a guitar. And the brother, that her husband, just good country people. I'm not making fun of them, I promise you, because they're truly good people, just good, salt of the earth kind of people. But I'm going to say it now, and God knows it. I don't think I could sing a lick. And so when they would sing, they had this signature song that they always sung. And my pastor, he'd sit over here. I could see him sitting over now. And since they'd start singing, he'd get his handkerchief out, and he'd be crying and wiping his eyes. And I'm trying not to laugh. And it wouldn't be long. They'd keep on going with that song. She's strumming along and just no expression whatsoever. And, of course, he gets like me. He gets real red in the face when he gets happy or excited. He's getting happy and can't hardly get through the song. Somebody in the back is raising her hand. Oh, praise God. And all this is going on, and I'm sitting here thinking, am I really saved? I mean, this is horrible. And all these people are so happy. Here's the little song. And I don't sing well at all, but I can sing it like they sing it. Maybe a little better. You got to get over here, and she's doing this here. And he's standing over here, and he's playing something too. I can't remember what it was. Maybe a jug or a comb or something. I don't know. But the song was like, here comes Jesus with grace again, just by time I need it. Makes me feel so very ill to think how I mistreated. Oh, praise God, they're singing over here. And they go on and on. Every time, I don't remember all the words, said, I pull a boner and it should be a goner. There's Jesus with his grace again. Here comes Jesus with grace again, just about my time I need it. And this is going on. I'm thinking, why do they do this every time? And then pastors over there just weeping and people are rejoicing and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just trying not to laugh. You know what happened? When I got in the car the other day, late that evening, driving home, I found myself going, here comes Jesus with his grace again. Just about the time I need it. They weren't rejoicing over the quality of their voices. Those older people in that audience, you know what they were doing? They were validating the truth of that song. They had lived the experience. They had been in the fire, and they knew the faithfulness of God that sustained them. And his grace just always kept showing up. Because he's passed into the heavens, and he's there feeling our infirmities, and he's waiting for our prayers, and he is ready to help. Wherever you are in life, whatever you're going through, you have a priest that can be touched. And one day when you get a little older, like me, you might find yourself in that season of despair humming that little song, because God is faithful. He'll give you grace in time of need. Daryl, come on here. And I want to read from the Amplified. I wish I had it on the screen so you could follow along with me, but listen to how the Amplified version exalts the text or enlarges upon the text that I read. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures, find grace to help in good times for every need, and then in brackets, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. That's God's guarantee to all of us who are priests in his family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for your word and for the faithfulness you never fail. You're always there. And Lord, there are probably people like me that in the audience that are listening, and we can't count the times we've failed you. But Lord, we keep on getting invited, getting the invitation to come to that throne of grace to obtain mercy in those seasons of life that we can't manage on our own. Thank you. Remind us, Lord, when we're frustrated or we're scared or we're weak or whatever the temptation is that makes us, Lord, just want to fold our tent. Remind us, Lord, that we're to see that high priest. We're to understand that he has been here and endured so much to make himself available to each of us. Oh, God, may this just be a moment in our life where we just commit ourselves to looking for you in those moments of shock and awe. Even in the small little things. When a pastor friend is unable to be here, and then here we are in this situation, that you arrange things and you put stuff together, Lord, and you have a reason for it. So give grace to your people and give them, I pray you'd bless them, Lord. With my scattered remarks today, bless your people and be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Will you stand as we sing?